Hello, and welcome back to The Good, The Bad, and The Backlog. I am joined today by the captain of the 1991 Australian bobsled team, Adam. Hello.
Hello, sir. Who are you?
Who am I?
Yeah, you didn't introduce yourself.
Shit. I'm Kieran. I wasn't on the Australian bobsled team, but I was...
You didn't make the finals.
I was part of the Alaskan bobsled team that was pulled by wolves and huskies. No one remembers that. That's why I didn't bring light to it. Anyway, how are you doing today, Adam?
I'm fine.
Just fine?
Yep. I'm good. I'm fine and dandy.
Well, I'm so delighted to hear it, because you really sound just full of energy, and that's what we need right now in these harsh
times. You know,
times.
I actually suspect I might have coronavirus.
That's not good. Dude, I haven't got my mask on, and I could catch it through Skype.
Believe me, if you're going to catch something from me, coronavirus is the least of your worries.
Anyway.
Jerks.
I hope you don't have coronavirus, because that could be
I'm probably
shit. But, you know, if you do, can you give me your game collection, should you die?
You know what? I probably would, because I don't think my parents would know what to do with it, and I would just wind up either selling it or giving it away. So that would be a shame.
That would be a shame, yeah, because I'd like to at least play all the games before I sell them.
So would I. I'd like to play the games before I die, because I've got a hell of a lot that haven't been played yet.
Yeah.
Thus the podcast.
Thus the podcast. Excellent, man. Yes. That was good. I like that.
It's the truth, though.
It is, actually. Yeah.
It's kind of depressing to think that I have, like, hundreds of games sitting on my shelf I haven't played yet, and I could drop dead at any minute and not play any of them.
It's true. That is a slight worry. Although, I feel like there are bigger things. There are bigger concerns in my mind at the moment.
I just wanted to bring the mood down a little bit.
Well,
I could be dead tomorrow, you know?
So, what else have you up to this week? Other than catching coronavirus?
I think part of the reason why I'm in such a dark mood at the moment is because I've been binge-watching American Horror Story. So, there's like a lot of... murder and killing and apocalypses and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I've heard a lot about that series. A friend of mine recommended it, but the way he described it, it just kind of put me off. And I'm kind of glad. It sounds miserable.
They're actually like it's not that dark. A lot of it has kind of like tongue-in-cheek humor to it, but some of the seasons are absolute rubbish and not worth watching at all. I have a lot of gripes about Ryan Murphy, who is the guy that is the showrunner, because he tends to like create a lot of side stories and B plots that go nowhere and distract from the overall story of the season. So it ruins a lot of shows that he creates. But that's a whole nother story from my screenwriting background.
Yeah.
But yes, I hate that guy.
Well, I probably won't watch that, but I've been watching Community a bit lately.
I love that show.
I'm on the last series. It feels like I've been watching it forever. I can't believe there's like 6 or 7 series, but it's so good.
You know what? I don't think I've seen that.
The last series is so much better than the two prior, I think. You know, since they got rid of Chevy Chase, it was a little bit downhill.
There's 4 seasons, right?
No, man. Community. There's I think it might be 6 or 7. I kind of lost track.
Are you sure?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I could have sworn it was...
I think they had 4 series where they had Chevy Chase, whose character I have completely forgotten, which is really, really bad. Then they replaced him with one of the dudes from... Is it Better Call Saul? I can't remember.
And, oh, shit, there is 6 seasons.
Yeah, man, it goes on. It's a bit questionable, though, because they kind of stop being actual students, and you start to wonder, like, why the hell are they still in this college? And... I think for the last series, they kind of just accept that it's complete nonsense and just make it batshit insane, and it is quite hilarious.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen all of season 4 and then a little bit of 5, and I must have stopped somewhere around there because it kind of lost its, I don't know, appeal for me. But
It definitely did.
Yeah.
Outward.
But I did love that show. Like, the first 3 seasons were some of my favorite seasons of TV.
Yeah.
And I love Britta. Britta is my favorite character because everybody hates her. She's the worst. So it reminds me a bit about myself.
We all know people like Britta.
Yep. I'm a Britta.
You are a Britta. Britta filter. Cleaning that
water.
Yeah,
I will make your H2O healthy and strong.
Get rid of that chlorine.
That's it. Take out all those nasty fluorides or whatever it is that makes people crazy.
But moving away from water and community, I actually been playing Helldivers recently with a few friends online, and I must say, have you ever played that?
I have no idea what that is.
It's like a top-down shooter where you just kind of land on planets and shoot aliens. It's very simple, but it's actually really good fun, really fucking hard.
Oh.
Frustrating as hell, but also just like you really want to continue playing. It's really good.
Was that a free PS Plus game recently?
Not recently.
Or am I imagining that?
Maybe like a few years ago, but yeah, you'll probably have it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I must have seen it in my library somewhere and just ignored it.
Yeah, it's not the sort of game I'd want to play alone, but with friends it is like really good. It's four player and you can just get random players joining as well. But it's chaotic and mad, but good fun. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, I don't have very many friends, so probably not.
Well, that's fair enough. One of my friends is my brother, so I'm just...
it doesn't count then.
Doesn't count. He's not a real friend. He's kind of... he's just forced to be my friend.
Exactly. If he wasn't your brother, he wouldn't even like you.
But exactly. We wouldn't even talk, man.
Yeah.
but my other friend, he's not related to me that closely by blood. I'm sure
how much do you pay him a week to see your friend?
Shut up, man. Not much.
Just yeah, a small cheap friends fee. Are easy to find.
Just bake him a cake every so often.
Could have said something real bad then, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, I'm glad. But you can't just say like I've that and then not say it, you know, because everyone's curious.
No, I've also been listening to a lot of insult comedians, like podcasts and stuff. So people cool. like Bill Burr, and kind of like on the wavelength now where I just want to insult people all the time. So I'm trying to pull back from doing that.
I thought the podcast nice. Was called Insult Comedians, and now I've just realized you've kind of created a category for podcasts that is just insult comedians. That's so good.
I wish that was a category. I would definitely subscribe.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I've listened to just a bit of Rich Roll podcast lately and a few gaming ones.
Nice.
I haven't ventured into the insulting comedian category yet.
It's worth it. Bill Burr is definitely one of my favorites.
Okay. I'll trial out his podcast.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to repeat anything that he says because he's quite controversial. So let's avoid those.
Heaven
opinions.
Forbid. We want to avoid controversy like the plague.
I know. It's a shame that the game we're playing this week, we're going to have some controversial opinions on.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And we should get onto that now, I guess. So the game we have played this week for the podcast is indeed the action adventure game Eco.
Said it right.
Eco. Whatever.
Where have you been playing Eco?
Oh my god, it's so good.
Jennifer, have you played Eco? It's so cool. On the PlayStation 2.
Yes. So, it's developed by Sony Computer Entertainment Japan and Team Eco. Released Woo. For the PlayStation 2. In 2001 and 2002 in various regions. It was designed by Fumito Ueda, who... this was his first actual game as the director. Before that, he had worked on a few other games for the Warp studio, including D and Enemy Zero. Two games of which I have never even heard of.
Me neither.
Have you
No idea.
No, I've not got a clue. I thought I should research them earlier on, but I just couldn't be bothered. They were released in the 90s at some point, and Ueda's role was an animator, I think, for them. So not really in the design aspect so much. And indeed, he moved away from that studio when he kind of applied or sent a contact to Sony with a idea to make a movie. And I think that was actually like a concept thing for Ico. It was like a really short animation / CG film with some of the story elements to Ico, with originally no intention of actually turning it into a game, but Sony liked this and they took him on, and they pretty much straight away gave him just free rein to make this game. And it's interesting because he wanted to create a game that was unlike anything else at the time, and I think that comes from his CG background. Like he wasn't too good at making hardcore animations like something you might find in a fighting game, so he wanted to do something that was impressive and unique but in a different way to just purely mechanics and animation. And Ico definitely is a different game. I mean, if you think of it from that sort of time period and what else was coming out.
Yeah, I guess.
So do you have any experiences with Ico prior to playing it this week?
You just called it Ico.
Fuck.
Every time you do it, I'm going to call you out on it. No, I never played it. I got a PlayStation 3. What, like 10 years ago maybe, and one of the games I got was the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus compilation of the remasters or whatever they're called. And then I played it for like 20 minutes and gave up because it didn't grab me at all. So I was kind of glad that we picked this game to go over so I could give it a second chance and find out what all the fuss was about, because it's like one of those games that people always bring up. Or at least 10 years ago, they used to bring this game up all the time as an example of video games as art. Because for some reason, 10 years ago, it was like this massive thing where everyone was chucking a hissy fit because Roger Ebert said that video games could never be art. And then everyone's like, oh, yes, they can. Oh, look at Ico. Look at this game. Look at this game. They're all art, blah, blah, blah. It's really funny now that nobody actually ever talks about that anymore. So
I'd not even ever heard about that, to be honest.
Really? No. 10 years ago, this huge thing. Everyone's like, video games are art. Here's an example. Look at Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Look at Ico. Look at Shadow of the Colossus. And on and on and on. And then...
I have no real strong opinion. I would just say, like, yes, it can be art. And because art is subjective, your opinion may be different from mine.
Yeah, I think games can be artistic, but I don't think there'll ever be a single game that can be looked at as a piece of art.
Well... that's fair enough.
Actually, I changed my mind. maybe yes, you can look at it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Art's such a vague thing.
That's the thing. Art can be so many things that why can't it be video games?
I suppose, but it takes a lot for any sort of video game to get an emotional response out of me, so...
yeah, I agree. There are definitely a few that come to mind that are pretty artsy, but yeah, again, it is just in the eye of the beholder, and... if you want to think it's not art, fine. I don't really care.
Fine. I don't think it's art. At least I don't think that Ico is art.
Yeah,
Bam, I said it.
I think there are definitely some very cool artistic things about it. But it's a game. I will identify it as a game from now on.
Ico, the game.
Yes.
Actually, it's barely even that, but let's continue.
Oh, goodness gracious. So
I should make a disclaimer. If you're a hardcore Ico fan, you probably don't want to listen to what I have to say. So I apologize. I just don't like this game very much.
I just mentioned, I actually never played this. I never had the game, but I remember back when it came out, I think the official PlayStation magazine, back when I used to get it, and they used to come with demo discs. It came with one where it had Ico demo, and... I do distinctly remember that, or maybe I was just watching my brother play it or something, and I remember it being really intriguing, but also really difficult, and I don't think any of us ever managed to actually complete the demo, whether it was one of those timed ones, or if you just got to a certain area and it just turns off, I don't know, but
that's interesting.
There's no like strong memory about it, and being really into it, so yeah, it's interesting to finally play it, like you say, because it's definitely one of those games that is brought up quite often. Maybe not so much as the next game by the devs, but it's definitely up there, and you always see it in like gaming lists of certain things, like top 10 hand-holding games, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So it's good to finally have the knowledge about it. So actually, when you load up the game, it's funny to me because we played Deadly Premonition last week, and the intro to that game starts with just a few boys walking through a forest with some like terrible graphics. And this game, when you load it up, the first thing you see is just a cutscene of some trees in a woodland. And I thought for a second, like, shit, had I loaded up Deadly Premonition again? but then you see that it's actually just some people riding on horses through this forest. I think it's like three or so. And there's a boy on one of these horses, indeed, with horns. I thought it was actually a horned helmet at first, like a Viking helmet of some kind. But they take this kid, well, they take him to the edge of the forest where you see in the distance a huge castle. Then they kind of take him across on a boat, and they seem to be sacrificing him. They put him in this sort of pod in the castle, and then they say to them, "Do not be angry with us. This is for the good of the village." They seem to think that a horned child is a bad omen, so that's why they're getting rid of him. They feel like he's cursed.
I don't think you actually learn it there. You learn this through dialogue with the other characters, that horny boys, as in boys with horns, are considered cursed or have some sort of cursed bloodline or something. So
yeah.
They're always taken to this castle to be sacrificed for whatever reason. They never fully explain it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's a continual theme for these games where there is no real story and a lot of it is just guesswork.
Yeah, a lot of ambiguity.
Yes, indeed. Whether that's good or bad, it's up to the individual, I would guess. So when the boy is locked away, the boy is Eco, by the way. That's important.
That's his name.
So you play as him. He manages to escape this pod. I can't remember if it's the earthquake that causes it, or he just kind of rattles around and knocks it off and manages to come out.
Also ambiguous.
Yes, also ambiguous. Just very convenient for the game. So he kind of explores around a bit, and then he comes across a cage at the very top of this like steeple in the castle, and sees Yorda, the girl. And you eventually release her by doing some kind of almost tutorial-like mechanics. I mean, there is no tutorial. What's good, and I should mention, is that there is no HUD, there's no like health bar or UI to be seen. It is a completely clear screen. I quite like that aspect.
Like that part of it.
Yeah, okay. We'll focus on the positives. So yeah, it's like you never get told what any of the controls are. You really just have to kind of trial and error it, which can be frustrating, but you pick it up pretty quickly. So I don't really care too much about that. And it is nice having quite a clear screen for once, in my opinion. So once you've managed to get the girl out by just knocking this cage down, this is when you first encounter the shadow monsters, which we do learn sort of who and what they are later in the game. I guess we'll go over that a bit later. And also guiding the girl.
Yep, because she can't do it by herself.
Yeah, she...
Unfortunately.
She seems to be lacking in any kind of common sense.
How she managed to survive up to this point is anybody's guess.
It's a miracle. I think she was kept in that cage for her own good, honestly.
Yeah, it's probably the safest place for her to be, because clearly she doesn't know what she's doing or how to take care of herself.
She's a bit nuts, so... Did you notice that she often ran away, and that was generally when there were like white doves around? She got distracted by the doves and just fucks off. It's like,
I absolutely noticed that. There was one part where I was climbing up a really long ladder, and she was climbing up behind me, and she takes every step, like she goes so slowly. She takes every rung one at a time, like an 80-year-old arthritic grandma.
Yeah.
So slow. So I kept going, and then she sort of got out of frame, and then I got to the top, I turned around, the next thing I know, I see her on the bottom floor chasing after a dove. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Get back here.
That's so funny. Annoying, but
I hate her.
I didn't have too much trouble, honestly, but I definitely think it's chance. It could fuck people over so easily. But yeah, this game is pretty much one big escort mission. So if you don't like that aspect, you are going to be in for a very unhappy time, I feel.
Yeah. I wish they did have a tutorial, though, to at least tell you what button does what, because there are a few situations where you need to do something and you don't even know if it's an option or not. Like, you don't know if you can, how to pick something up or whatever. You're just sort of there pressing a bunch of buttons, and that frustrates me.
Yeah, I do agree. There were times, like, there was one time where I fell off a building because triangle is jump and get up, but X is kind of drop. And because I'm just so used to X being jump, there were, I think maybe it actually happened twice where I was hanging off a ledge and I pressed X to get up and I just fell to my doom.
And I've done that so many
times. It's very frustrating. It's just, I'll say it's PS2 controls. These games, particularly Shadow of the Colossus and Eco, are known for odd controls that don't really hold up so well. But, you know, they're not that bad. The camera is a little bit shit. What did you think of that?
Mm-hmm. Before I get into the camera, because that is a big problem for me, I just want to say that I think these games are subpar even for PS2 in terms of controls and camera and stuff. Because, like, if you think about it, Eco was released in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same year that, like, Devil May Cry was released. The first Halo was released. Max Payne, Super Smash Bros. Melee, like, Conker's Bad Fur Day, all these other games that control superiorly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Control well.
Yep.
And like, I feel that people make excuses for this game.
Okay. I think there are reasons, and maybe I'm about to make some of those excuses. I'm not saying I agree with them.
Uh-huh.
Ueda had an idea to create the game by kind of designing by subtraction. So taking away things to keeping it quite minimal, which is very evident in graphics as well as controls. And I think considering that you are quite a young boy, I mean, I don't know how old Eco is. I would say something like 12, maybe. You can't like give him good combat controls, for example, because he's a young boy. No. He probably has never wielded a sword or whatever. So
I'm not expecting him to be able to like pull off combos and stuff. The combat doesn't bother me at all. It's just the mechanics that he does have and what he is supposed to be able to do is not on par with several games for like a decade prior that have significantly better controls.
Okay.
And handle better.
Okay. I don't really agree. I think they were fine.
Oh, how dare you disagree?
Got some controversy here, lads.
That is like, it.
I'm not used to this.
No, it's
I could
fine.
Just think of so many PS2 games that were absolutely shockingly shit. And
I can think of so many that are great, though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I will say that it's, like, average control-wise. Could definitely be better, but it could be so much worse. I'm looking at you, Kingdom Hearts. Fuck that game.
Fine. We'll negotiate down to average.
Average, okay. And the camera isn't as bad as I think, because at least, I mean, it does have, like, a static position. Like, it shows you an angle that it wants you to see, and you can move it pretty damn wide, but it's a bit awkward, especially if you want to look at the scenery or something. It always wants to kind of bounce back to the position that it wants to be in. It's a little bit frustrating, but it's of the time.
Yeah, I had a few times where like I tried to position it to see a wider space or spatial area or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would run in basically the opposite position, thinking, oh, maybe I can spin the camera around, and it would just start flipping out and going completely nuts.
It is an issue, especially when you have to do like tight corners or something, and there's a risk of falling off. And when you cross a corner, the camera flips, and so the angle you're holding is then going to guide you off the fucking ledge. And
yes.
It's just really annoying. But
that's exactly what I'm talking about. That's the stuff that made me so aggravated.
It's annoying, and fortunately it generally didn't result in like dying, but it would just waste a bit of time where you'd have to get back up the ledge or whatever.
Yeah.
A little bit irritating, but you know, PS2 era, that's just what I'm saying. I'm not forgiving it. I'm just saying
there are PS1 games that do better than this.
True. And interestingly, on that
Spyro does better than this.
Did you realize that this was actually originally intended for PS1?
That's still no excuse because there's still PS1 games that are better.
Spyro is a much better game, man. I fucking love Spyro.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Spyro.
Like, my point is that we always like keep making excuses for this game for being, or like having clunky controls and all that sort of stuff, and excusing it for the era that it was released in, and bloody director guy trying to be artistic or whatever. But I don't think that's a reason why you should be able to release a game and have these issues be overlooked and then have it be considered a masterpiece, because I just don't think that's right.
I agree. I do agree, but still, I'm just gonna stick with my idea that it's just quite different for the time. And
okay,
whether I like the game or not, I can appreciate that it has spawned a lot of, or has inspired quite a lot of other games that have come since, which have been really good. So from that aspect, I am grateful it exists.
Okay, fine. I am too, but I'm just not happy with my experience with it.
Okay. Well, at least you gave it a go, man. That's the main thing.
If it was a first date with somebody, I would not
there wouldn't
ask
be a second
out
date.
On a second date.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
Okay.
I would pump and dump. I would never see them again.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the game. I mean, there isn't really much to say because the basic thing is you want to escape the castle. So you try and just get through all these puzzles. The castle is fucking pain in the ass to navigate. I don't know if you found this, but I constantly got lost. And another thing that really irritated me was if you go a few screens too far without bringing Yorda, who is the girl, the fucking shadow monsters will get her. And half the time, you're far too far away to go back and pull her out.
Yep.
Because there's no autosave or whatever, you just get respawned like back to your previous save, or maybe like where the next gate thing opened. It's really frustrating because you want to work out where to go. You want to solve the puzzles, but you don't want to constantly be waiting for Yorda. So you don't want to bring her everywhere. But if you don't, you die. It's catch 22, and it's just very frustrating. And although I did get a good portion of the game using my own grit, I did resort to a guide.
Yeah, I got so frustrated by the game that I basically used a guide from almost the beginning, because I was like, if I'm going to get through this without tearing my hair out, I'm going to do it and not make any mistakes. So I'm following this guide. Because the first time I'd played this game, the one like 10 years ago when I got it for PS3, the reason why I stopped was because I didn't know where I was supposed to be going. And I didn't have the patience to go and explore because it wasn't fun for me.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't enjoying that. And then, like, add on to that the controls, which make it difficult to even run properly. And the fact that you have to drag this chick by her arm and she runs so slowly. Like, she even has, like, this sort of ragdoll physics where you tug on her arm and then she kind of, like, gets pulled a little bit. And it reminds me of when I was, like, a child at, I don't know, the county fair or something, and like walking with my parents and I've pissed them off, and then my dad keeps yanking on my arm until it almost comes out of its socket, and
yes,
then
yes,
I'd be like, ow, dad, and then he'd hit me and be like, hurry up.
I think Yorda is definitely gonna fucking be suing Ico for whiplash at the end of this.
Like, I wish you could have just picked her up and then carried her.
Yeah,
I mean, faster.
Ico can pick up fucking heavy bombs and carry and pull her along at the same time, so he could obviously just pick her up. Just chuck her.
Yeah, she, or like piggybacked her or something.
Yes. Or just built a wheelbarrow.
Or raw dogged her.
Ah, well, I think at least the animations look pretty nice.
Yeah. I was thinking about it when I was playing. I was like, I wish I could just like decapitate her and then just take her head around. Because the reason why you have to go with her is because she's the only one that can open up certain doors because of her magical aura or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just want to cut her head off and then just use that to get through the doorways and then escape on my own.
Yeah, man. It's like Kratos in the original God of War chopping off Medusa's head to use as a weapon.
Exactly. Exactly.
So smart. We should have designed this game.
Yep.
Well, Yorda is kind of a 2-year-old in brain development, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
I was like, where does it say that in the lore? I didn't see that part.
Yeah, yeah, man. It's confirmed.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow. That's kind of interesting. I didn't realize it went into that much depth because it's not a lot of story.
There's fucking no depth here. No one knows anything. If you scour the internet for like stories and stuff, there's just hundreds of fan theories, which are interesting, and I like that games can kind of inspire that. I just spewed a man. But I would like some more clarity and some actual definition in the story myself.
Yeah. The kind of I like ambiguity when there's enough to give you something concrete, and then it gives you enough where that's, you can kind of theorize on that stuff and come up with your own theories. But this is just like, there's, to me at least, and I know this is probably going to piss off a lot of people if we haven't already pissed off a lot of people who are fans of this game, but I just, there's no depth there. It's such a open close, this is the story, and they don't give you anything else about the world. They just kind of tell you little bits and pieces, and then people have gone and taken those, and then their imaginations have run wild and come up with all these wild, crazy theories, but none of them are true. And
that's the problem.
There's nothing.
No one can confirm.
Yeah, like nothing
it.
Backs anything up. Like, give me something more interesting.
Unless the developers decide to, in like 5 sequels' time, just give an answer to everything, which, you know, yeah, we all know isn't going to happen. It is all just speculation, and speculation has its place, but I agree that it's just endless. There is no definitive answer, and that's a little bit frustrating. I like mystery, but I also like to have a little bit of clarity with these sort of things.
I like mystery if it gives me a mystery that's been solved and then tacks on another mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like you gotta give the player something in return in order for me at least to continue to go on this story adventure with you like any further. Like I don't want to describe it. It's kind of like the Deadly Premonitions thing last time. Like, there's enough not explained that you can kind of figure it out and then theorize, but you get solid answers for certain things. So that's what satisfies you as a player.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's good, and that's definitely, you know, actually, just on a side note, I want to edit my recommendation for Deadly Premonition in the last podcast. I definitely recommend it. Well, I've changed my mind.
Oh. Well, you can't go back and edit it now. It's too late.
Just re-upload it.
And everybody's already tuned out because I've shit on Eco.
True, no one's got to this point already.
No.
But yeah, maybe it just takes a different type of person, and we are just not those types.
I think the people that would enjoy this are the ones that have the patience and want to just, I don't want to say go on an adventure because I don't even really consider it an adventure. It's got some really obtuse puzzles that, it sounds like a cop-out for me to say that they don't signpost what you're supposed to do enough, but there's a certain thing in game design. Like, have you heard of how, like, the whole thing about how game designers set up their levels in order to guide a player through it, and they do, like, they put in sort of subconscious checkpoints and markers that draw you towards certain areas.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's mostly through lighting and stuff. So, they'll set up a bunch of lights, and then you instinctively, as a player, know, okay, I need to go this way because there's a light over there. But in this game, they just kind of, like, you go into a room, and then you don't know what any of the buttons are initially. You don't know what you can actually do as a character. And I found that in certain points in the story, or not even the story, in the game, you'd come up to puzzles where you're supposed to do something new that you've never done before, and you don't even know if you're capable of doing it. Like,
yeah,
spinning a one of those switches or whatever, I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do here? Like, I've never come across these. There's no indication that I'm even capable of doing this as a character, because the mechanics and capabilities of Eco as a character are so few that there's no indication that I can actually go ahead and do what I think needs to be done.
Yep.
So,
yep. And there are a few times where some puzzles, I think of one in particular, the one where you have to stand on a log to get chucked up in the air when you jump. It's like, it's only ever used once in the entire game, and you never know, like, it's coming, and there's a good chance you get stuck on that without realizing that could happen. So that's a bit unfortunate.
If I hadn't used the guide, I wouldn't know that I would have been capable of that, because it tells you, like, the guide tells you to stand on the log and jump. The first 3 times I did that, I jumped, but I didn't get enough height to actually make it to the ledge.
Yeah, you need to have a really precise point at which you've clicked jump. Otherwise, you just you just go like a few feet in the air. And you might trial it and think, ah, this doesn't work. I'll move on to something else.
Yeah, exactly. So if I was doing it without the guide, I would think, oh, well, that's not what you're supposed to do. Maybe I need to go and find another piece of equipment or some sort of block or something. And then you'd spend like the next half an hour walking around the castle and backtracking, trying to find something that doesn't exist.
Exactly.
So
I think when a game pretty much almost requires you to use a guide, it just stops being a good game. And
yeah.
Like, obviously, you could work this out if you spent hours and hours on it, but at that point, it just stops being fun, and I would have turned off and gone to something else.
That's frustrating. It's like the old games on PC, like Myst, or like those walk around, figure things out kind of games, which I never could do.
I would say one thing about all these sort of adventure puzzle games is that the satisfaction of when you actually do manage to solve something is really good, but sometimes it's just not worth the amount of time and effort that you've put in. And In as you say about the whole ambiguity about where to go, I actually had this at the very first moment, like when you get Yorda out of the cage, I had no fucking clue that she could open that gate, right?
Yeah.
So I then like went all around looking for some way to go, and I couldn't find anything. And then just by chance, I think I walked there and she was close and it opened, but I had no idea.
See, that's annoying. I would have shelved the game and completely given up on it. Like, and that's exactly what I did 10 years ago when I had the original. I was like, this sucks. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I have no direction of where I'm supposed to be going. So I'm going to give up and play Shadows of the Colossus because they're paired together and maybe I'll like that one better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we can all agree that Shadow of the Colossus is a better game.
Oh, hands down. I haven't even finished it and it definitely controls better than the first game.
It's just more to do as well.
Yeah.
But
it gives you a goal. This game doesn't give you a goal.
I think that, well, you do have a goal. Get out of the castle.
Well, it's
not enough of
a vague goal.
And also, like, considering Yorda is clearly completely brain dead, I think I would just leave her there. Just leave her in the cage and get out myself.
Yeah.
So not often a good sign where you go on Wikipedia and the story is literally like displayed in just a few sentences, just a paragraph. So yeah, I think maybe I'm just the sort of gamer who really likes a decent story to back it up.
Yeah, I am too, but it kind of annoys me that people will point to something like this and be like, oh, what a great story. I'm like, you are so full of shit. You don't actually believe this is a good story. Like, come on, man. Who are you fooling?
I'm going to read a quote to you now. No, I'm going to get your opinion. It's by Paul Rubio, who's the CEO of the game developer Tequila Works, who developed a game definitely inspired by these games called Rhyme. He says, Ico is not about a boy and a girl escaping from a haunted castle or fighting shadows with a stick. Ico is a game that transmits strong emotions about solitude, injustice, loss, death, sacrifice, overcoming your own limitations, and how two helpless entities can overcome any challenge if they take care of each other. Like a Miyazaki or a Disney movie, there's a deep meaning behind these cartoon images. It's also a really simple yet deep story. A classic tragedy. Opinions?
Bullshit. Bullshit. That is such rot.
It's glorious.
So stupid. It is like the most simple story you could ever have in the most simple themes. It is so cookie cutter. It's ridiculous. It's like how every Hollywood movie at the moment follows the exact same formula. It is so formulaic and so generic that there's nothing special about it at all. Sorry.
Oh, maybe that was very strong and very controversial. And
it's true.
I don't disagree. That's the thing.
It's like every fairy tale that has been told for hundreds and hundreds of years. There is literally nothing new about it, nothing exciting about it. The most, I don't know, newest or the most unique thing about it is that there's a kid with horns, a girl made of pure energy, which isn't that unique either. But the most interesting thing I found about the entire game is that the castle actually has some modern fixtures inside of it, like copper pipes and stuff like that, and elevators. And I was like, that's interesting, but it goes nowhere and doesn't tell you anything about it.
That's the thing. There are potentially really interesting things about this. Like, as soon as you see the guys coming in on the horses and stuff, you kind of you want to know who the fuck they are. Where's the civilization? Yeah. And you want to learn about that. You want to learn about the castle, like why it's there, what it is. You want to learn about the queen and all this stuff that is interesting and could really help to make this game like just a lot more interesting. I really needed a new word other than interesting, but
I know
but that's what it would do, and you don't get that. You only have to just speculate, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's a lot of missed opportunities for really fleshing out the world, especially with the level design. Like, you could add in certain rooms that hint at more. Like, it's a castle. There's supposed to be like a billion different rooms for a billion different uses. Why don't take the character into the queen's dressing room, or, you know, something, or like the torture chamber or something that indicates that there's more to this place.
That's true.
You know, like you don't even have to say it in dialogue or in words or anything. Just take the characters into an area which has set pieces and information that fleshes out this world. Like,
it's true.
Yeah. You know, like anything.
The castle basically just feels like a puzzle. And and there's no real practical use for this castle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just bringing a bit of life to it, differentiating the rooms from each other, it would definitely do a lot.
You could have a room that is adorned with the seven horns of several cursed children, and you'd be like, wow, that's messed up.
That's the thing. There are very few things like that. Like, indeed, the gates that the Order has to open that have a kind of frozen statue of a horned boy kind of crying sat down. That's quite interesting, but it's such a minor thing that it really doesn't add much. Having just a bit more of that could bulk the game up quite substantially.
Yeah, like murals and artwork on the walls or something, or like things etched into the stone that expands the universe or adds more to theorize about. But it just, I wasn't given enough to warrant the praise that this game received.
It feels a bit sterile.
Yeah, that too. And the color palette doesn't help at all.
The color palette makes me feel depressed.
It goes from like blindingly bright whites when you're outside to darker than black shadows on the inside, to the point where I had to change my brightness settings twice because the white was hurting my eyes outside.
Yeah.
And then I got inside to a section and it was so dark that the shadow actually covered the door where I was supposed to go. So I was walking around in circles for like 30 minutes trying to like figure out, even with the guide,
which
tells you go to the left corner of the room and through the door. I'm like, I'm in the left corner of the room. There is no door. Where am I supposed to go?
Yeah.
Like, it was completely blackened over and I couldn't see it at all. So, and the bloody camera doesn't help because you can't really switch it around that much.
It's true. But like, was there parts of the game that you liked? Can we have some positive things about the game?
To be honest, I'm just having a really good time venting. It's getting out this negative energy I've been building up. but let me. So I like the idea of the kid with the horns. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the upgraded graphics from the PS2 version. That's really nice. Apparently, the PS3 version also has improved AI. So considering I had so many problems with Yoda in the PS3 version, I can't imagine how frustrating it would have been on PS2. Man, yeah. So thanks for the improvement, I guess. I don't know. The sound work is okay. It's a lot of ambient noises and like
birds
and ocean sounds and
not
a lot of music until the end.
I wish there was more music.
Actually, I got one.
Mm-hmm.
The final boss was cool.
That's true. Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Because it was different and artistically, like in terms of visual styles and stuff, I thought it really shone at that point.
Yeah, it did fit the game well, actually. It wasn't like out of the blue.
I kind of wish that from the point where you pick up the magic sword to the end of the game was the beginning of the second chapter, and the game would keep going elsewhere.
Mm, yeah.
But with better mechanics and less frustrating controls.
Yeah, that, that like, would be
the whole
cool
castle
scene.
Thing. It didn't really give me anything. It was just so go to this room, do this puzzle, go to this section, open the door, go to the other section, open the other side of the door. Now try to escape.
Ha! Oh, too bad. It was you the wrong escape. Way.
Yeah, like it.
And now Yoda's dead.
No loss there. But, you know, should drip feed you something.
Actually, thinking about it, my favorite part of the game, right? Is.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about positives. My bad.
Is the part where you. Do you fall off the bridge and get separated from Yoda? Or at some point, you get separated from Yoda. And you just. This is right before the final boss, really. Mm-hmm. And you just have to do a load of platforming on your own. And there's the bit under the water in the dark and misty like sewers and whatnot. That bit I quite liked. I liked the platforms.
I liked it until you actually got to that section. I had the most frustrating time on those spinning water wheels. I could have screamed.
Oh, man. I got lucky. I kind of did everything without too much hassle.
I fell off twice and had to start from the beginning all over again.
Oh, fuck, man.
I was so annoyed.
That's shit. That would definitely have that would have skewed my vision of it now looking back, but I think because it went quite smoothly, it was fine. I'm not going to say, do you remember there's that part with the water wheel where you have to time it right? You have to jump onto the water wheel and then jump off to another ledge at one point in the game. This is before
yes.
that point. That was when I messaged you on Instagram just saying I hate this game because I spent so long trying to get that jump right and it's so fucking difficult. I hate that
yep.
bit. But I couldn't rage quit either because I hadn't saved for a while.
Yeah, I know exactly the part you're talking about, and that part pissed me off too because it said something like, now jump onto this thing and then press the switch. And I'm like, the little handle thing you jump into looks like a switch. So I'm like, why isn't this moving? Like, yeah. Nothing's happening. And then I'm pressing these buttons. And then, of course, I press the button that makes you let go of the ledge.
And I'm like, no!
So I had to do it all over again.
Shit, man. That's unfortunate. But yeah, the underwater bit when you're alone, I like. And I think that's partly because you don't have to worry about Yoda. For some reason, yeah. She's fine now. And also, it had an atmosphere that was quite reminiscent of Limbo. Which isn't
that's true
affect everyone, but I love that game, so this part was pretty good. Frustrating,
yeah,
potentially, but I liked it.
I do too. I love Limbo. And that section did kind of make me think of it. The freedom that you have when you're not dragging this moron around by the arm is refreshing, but the downside to that,
man, it's freedom.
Yeah, the downside to that though is that because she's not with you, you can't save the game, so yeah. You have to get through that whole section.
Dude, we haven't even talked about the save system.
Oh, God.
I know you love this.
I don't think I can. I wrote this thing in here, in my notes.
Yeah.
So, to save the game, you need to sit down on this, like, stone couch-looking thing. But you don't just have to sit down. You have to sit down, and then you have to call Yoda over to you to sit down next to you, and then you can save. So in my notes here, it says, Yoda is too slow. When I sit on the couch to save and call her over, she takes too damn long to sit down. Like, fucking get your ass over here and sit the fuck down.
That's so funny. I had this experience the very first time I saved. It was frustrating as hell. But after that, I pretty much just learned if you're going to save, you just drag her there. Yeah. You don't call her.
I'll do that too.
Her. It takes a while,
but even when
but
you drag her,
you
sit down by yourself, and then you have to still call her to sit down, like, okay. Even if she's standing right in front of it.
Okay, I didn't
still
have
takes, like,
too much trouble with that.
But she still takes like 5 seconds to sit down. Why can't it just be like a one button press and save here? Oh my God, I hate it.
I agree. I do agree. It could have been so much more simple.
Ah, well. Raging. Yeah. Rage.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have too much trouble with Yoda, actually, but there was one time where I literally just recorded this on my phone because I was reaching down a ledge to pull Yoda up, and she was just stood at this ledge, just going in a circle, and I thought, is she trying to straighten up or something, get in the right position? But no, she just kept on going in the circle for like 2 minutes.
I had that too. She was circling around like when a dog goes to lie in its bed and you know how they do that little spinny thing?
Yeah.
It was a bit like that.
Maybe she is a dog in a human's body. That would explain some things.
Wouldn't surprise
chasing
me.
The birds, just not understanding everything.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So should we talk about like the story or the ending or anything? Or
yeah, might as well. Might as well cover it.
In a nutshell, turns out that Yorda is the queen's daughter and the queen has been keeping her hostage or whatever because she is dying, as in the queen, yeah. And then she intends to put her soul into Yorda's body so she can live forever. So the implication is that she's been doing this for quite a long time. And the shadows that you fight along the way are the ghosts / shadows of other horned boys who have been brought to the castle of sacrifices. So
yeah,
don't know why or what part of the story, like what use they have other than being the queen's minions.
Minions, and like you can assume that maybe she gets a little bit of vigor from them, some kind of extended lifespan. Just a, you know.
They're like the magical Viagra she needs.
That's what they
going.
Are, yeah.
Yeah, little energizer pods.
Didn't you know that sniffing horned boys' horns is a natural aphrodisiac? It's just like rhino horn.
Yeah, it isn't it cure impotence as well?
That's right, yeah. Okay. It's a cure-all,
good,
actually.
I need a cure for that.
So, yeah, well, actually, and once you find out that she's trying to suck Yorda's life blood. You decide to say, well, fuck that, I'm getting out of here and I'm taking Yorda with me. At which point she closes the gate and you're like, well, fuck off, dude. Find your own way out. So you do,
dry,
which involves
queen.
Just doing these stupid puzzles where you have to light up these beacons, which for some reason open the gate. It's a bit tedious, but you know, you get through it. And then when you try to escape, you get across the bridge, which is frustrating because Yorda cannot walk properly. She just falls over after every freaking 5 meters.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, that doesn't work. Yeah. She can't leave because she is a...
There's a point where the bridge is opening up and Ikko is on the correct side of the bridge where he can go to escape, right. And Yorda's on the other side. And he decides to jump back over to her side of the bridge to save her.
Yeah. Like, did you on the first attempt? Because I didn't, and I fucking died.
I did because I knew you had to.
Oh, right. I ran straight to the other side to try and leave.
Wait, what happens when you get there? Like, the bridge just keeps closing.
You get to the other side, and it's just blocked by those kind of crying boy statue things. And I thought, maybe I can climb up here and try and pull a lever or something. Alas, the bridge just slowly pulls in, and you die.
That's such bullshit. Like, as if you couldn't, like, jump to the side or something in real life.
I know.
They've
got an obvious handhold there. <It's>, considering the other thing that he can do, he can clearly climb up these things.
I would just, like, jump in the water and swim away.
Yeah, too right. Just bomb it.
Yeah.
Easy. But yeah, being the game is restrictive in that manner. You have to jump back into the castle to find a way out. So, back in the castle you go, which is a real shame. I was real disappointed by that. I really wanted to leave.
Yeah, I was praying for it to end. But I think, don't you actually fall in the end anyway? And then you wind up somewhere underneath the castle?
Yeah, you do. This is where you get separated from Yorda. And
thank God.
You then have to make your way back up. Eventually you find this sword, the Shining Queen Sword, I think it is. And you can use this to fight the queen. So you get to her throne room after doing a few more puzzles. Well, actually, there's another point before that where you have to... You get back to the very first area where you were put in that pod. And this room is full of other pods. There's probably like 100 pods or something. And each one of these being the soul of a other horned boy that has previously been put there over the generations. And each one of these attacks you and you have to spend ages killing these things, which is so annoying because they constantly fly away and it's not fun.
At least they die in one hit, though, with that sword. So
it's just getting one hit. It's like actually quite difficult. But yeah. You do that, and then you see that Yorda has kind of been turned to stone almost. You then go and make your way to the Queen's throne room where you do this pretty cool boss fight. She has her cool speech about what she wants to do with Yorda, etc. And you kill her off. Easy peasy.
Suck her dry.
That's right. But yeah, the final boss fight is pretty cool. He kind of just like she whips out. She emanates this force field of like magic.
She excretes this power.
That's right. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You just have to kind of hide behind these things, go up and hit her, hide behind. It's a cool mechanic. I like that.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that's pretty much it. Then it's just the end of the game and a cutscene. And what happens in the cutscene? I've kind of forgotten.
You go back to Yorta and she comes alive again. No, actually, I think you're unconscious. And then Yorta just comes alive again. And then she's got like all this shadow power in her.
Yeah.
And she does some
shadow power.
Magical... Yeah, she does some Wingardium Leviosa stuff.
Leviosa.
And... Yeah, that's it. Hang on, no, she picks you up and then she takes you to a boat and she basically chucks you in a boat and then sends you down the into the ocean like Moses in the fucking river in a wicker basket.
Yep. She got intelligent. Why couldn't she do this earlier on in the game?
And like, I think she just is never seen from again or something. But anyway, the whole castle begins to crumble like the Dark Crystal. And then you wake up in the boat on the beach, and then you go strolling down the beach and you just find her back to
and
her.
Who do you find? David Bowie.
changes. And he and Yord is like lying on the beach unconscious back in her like glowy white state.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then she wakes up and then Bub's your uncle. She's back at it.
She's in a human form, isn't she?
She's human the whole time.
No. I mean, like, during the game, she's kind of white. She's lit up. She's like an ethereal being. When she's on the beach, you can see, like, the pale...
I thought she was white again.
Caucasian skin tone. And the kind of dirty blonde hair.
She's a less white shade of white, I guess.
Maybe she's lost her light. Maybe this means the queen has sucked the light out of her, and she's now just a stupid human.
White people all look the same to me anyway, so whatever. yeah, I think she's back to normal.
Yeah.
There's a, so if you play the game a second time on New Game Plus, it's worth noting, Yorta speaks a different language to you. Yeah, so Yorta speaks a different language to you, and it appears in subtitles as, like, hieroglyphics. So, Yorta and Ico technically can't understand each other because of the language barrier. And, in the second playthrough on New Game Plus, it translates the hieroglyphics so the player knows what she's saying. But basically, she's not saying anything important anyway, so that's not, it's kind of pointless. And the only other difference, I think, is that in the ending on the beach in the New Game Plus, you can go to off to the side, pick up a watermelon, and then you can carry it back to Yorta on the other side. And then in the cutscene, you and Yorta are eating watermelon. So, don't know why they felt the need to put that in there, but it's there, and you get a trophy for it.
You've got to get that secret ending, man. You got to get your money's worth out of the game.
It's the power of the watermelon.
Okay, well, that's the game done. We can burn it now.
I would, but the disc also has Shadow of the Colossus on it.
So, would you recommend this game?
No, never.
Nah, me neither.
Not once, not ever. I would give you a list of other games I recommend you to play over this which are of a similar style, which I actually have written down on the phone I just dropped.
Oh, holy shit, go for it. I've got a few that I've got in mind.
All right, I'm guessing that whatever's on my list is probably also on yours, but people who have either enjoyed Ico or think they're interested in Ico, I recommend you don't play it if you haven't played it and play these games instead. Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Mm-hmm.
Limbo. Inside, which is also done by the same people that did Limbo. Journey, I thought was similar enough. And you know, kind of like artsy enough to satiate those people.
Yes, and it's got nice music and it's so much easier.
Yes. And the other one that I thought was very similar and a much better game, Superman 64.
I've never played that. I don't know anything about it. I can't tell if you're taking the piss.
I am. The joke is that it's the worst game ever made, basically.
The joke was lost to me. That's it.
I know. I wish you were more of a 64 gamer.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm joking. Superman 64 is apparently like the worst game ever made. So chuck that one in there as a punchline for you folks that get the reference.
Classic Adam right there. Oh, dear. Yeah,
that's why I'm the women's basketball champion of Australia. Wait, what was it? Bobsledding. That's
it. Dude, you can be whatever you want to be.
All right.
But yeah, that was pretty much the same as my list, although I would add rhyme, just because I think rhyme is actually pretty good.
Mm. Oh, add in, what's that one? Is it Gris?
Oh, like yeah, whether it's Gris or Gris.
Oh, yeah, it's like a Frenchy thing or something. Anyway.
It's a side-scrolling type thing.
Yeah, it's got really nice music. I haven't played it, but I've seen someone play it, and I thought it was fresh, so give that one a try.
But yeah, that's our list. And perhaps also, if you're interested in finding out what inspired this game, you might consider playing Another World or Flashback. Another World was an Amiga game from 1991, and I played it on Vita actually a few years ago. It's really, really difficult, but
I think it was free on PS Plus recently, a few months ago.
It was years ago, man.
Oh, well, it's in my library, so yeah. I don't know how it got there, but it was free.
Yeah, that was said to inspire this game quite a bit. So if you're kind of interested in that, it's worth a look. It's a good game. It's really difficult, though.
It's kind of like Dragon's Lair or whatever it is, those kind of games where you die all the time.
You die absolutely loads, man. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. I think that's all we've really got to say about Eco.
Apologies to anyone that is a fan of this game, but I think it definitely was a product of its time. I think it was even subpar for its time, but that's debatable. But playing it again in 2020 is a struggle.
Well, I mean, one good thing about Eco is that it did inspire or lead on to future games. So Shadow of the Colossus being the next one in line, which is supposedly a prequel to Eco. And I think that is probably what we're going to cover in the next podcast.
Yes.
So hopefully that will be a little bit more positive, because I have played a little bit before and I know I enjoyed it.
I played up to, I think it was the second or the third Colossus in the PS3 version before I gave up. Yeah. So I'll try the PS4 one because that was free recently. And if I finish that, I will go to the PS3 version if I have time.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably do the same.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one a lot more than Eco. Oh, man. And from what I played of the PS3 version, it's miles above Eco. So I'm at least looking forward to that palette cleanser.
Yes. Yes, it's going to be nice and refreshing.
Yes. Like a cucumber salad on a summer day.
Like a lentil tabbouleh.
Like some hummus and carrot sticks.
Like a Moroccan tagine.
Like a coffee enema on a cold winter's morning.
Did you just say a coffee enema?
Yes.
That's what it's like. That's what playing Eco is like. Anyway.
Yeah.
With that said,
only less energizing.
With that said, I think we should end this podcast. So,
yeah.
If anyone wants to follow us, we have a Twitter profile and a Twitch. I'm sure that they'll be linked somewhere. And they are dead as fuck at the moment, but still, one day we'll get them active. And we're going to try and get our podcast onto iTunes and stuff.
Yeah, by the time you've listened to this, they'll all be up there. And if not, then whatever. It'll be there eventually. So
soon. Woo! Excellent. Alrighty.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And thank you to everyone that subscribed to my OnlyFans account. You're keeping me going in these trying times.
Yes, and I appreciate the nomination for the Oscars for Best Podcast 2020. We're doubtful, but our hopes are high.
All I can do is believe.
Yes,
and I believe.
I'd like to thank our patrons, Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah, for their $1 donations. I appreciate that.
And our VIP patrons, Jeffrey Dahmer and Ed Gein.
Goodbye.
Okay, that's it. I'm stopping. Goodbye.